All right, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I do appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and to share something with you out of the Word of God. And I have a very high opinion of each and every one of you, and I know how much teaching and preaching takes place here at Bible Baptist Church. And so I don't expect to be here this morning and tell you anything you haven't heard before, but I pray that this is just a study that I've put together and something that the Lord has spoken to me about that's been very helpful to me. And so I'm just going to give you some of the thoughts that I have here out of Acts chapter 16. And you go ahead and chew on them a little bit and adjust them and allow the Holy Spirit to kind of apply them in a different way in your life and in wherever station of life you're at. And the title of this lesson is Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. And so you're probably familiar with many of the hymns that are all the way my Savior leads me, and He leadeth me, O blessed thought, and where He leads me, I will follow, all those types of things. And so we know that the methods and the ways that the Lord leads us is through His Spirit inside of. He guides us into all truth, and He will never lead us outside of what's written in that Bible that you have in your hands right there. And so we have the Word of God to guide us and to lead us, to instruct us, and His Holy Spirit will use this Word. And sometimes He'll use teaching and preaching to constrain us, guidance from good, strong Christians around us. Iron sharpens iron. And so He uses these different things to lead us. But the problem in my life is not whether or not He will lead me. But the problem in my life is whether or not where He leads me, I will follow. And so a lot of times it's not a lack of leadership or instruction or guidance or the power of the Spirit or the presence of the Spirit. It's a lot of times it's the submission of this guy right here. You know, the first word that the Lord Jesus Christ ever spoke in your entire Bible? The first word the Lord Jesus Christ ever spoke in your entire Bible. Who created all things according to John 1? The Lord Jesus Christ. So in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, when it says, "Let there be light," that's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, "Let." In the New Testament, the first words the Lord Jesus Christ speaks in the New Testament are, "Suffer. Suffer it to be so now." At John the Baptist's baptism, he says, John the Baptist says, "I shouldn't be baptizing you, you should be baptizing me." But he said, "Suffer it to be so now." You know what else he could have said? "Let it be so now." You know what he could have said in Genesis 1:3? "Suffer there to be light." He basically said the same thing in the Old Testament, the first word, as the first word in the New Testament. He said, "Submit. Get out of the way and let there be light. Get out of the way and let the Lord's will be done. Just do what the Lord's telling you to do, John the Baptist. Light, light, sun, moon, star. Just let the Lord's will be done through you. Let His light shine." You know what he's saying? Submit. His words are life. The word "let" is life. The word "suffer" is life. There's life in those words. If I would just let Him, if I would just suffer it to be so now, whether I understand it or not, whether I like it or not, if I would just, I'm John the Baptist and I say, this isn't the way it should, if just suffer it to be so now, you'll understand it by and by. He'll explain it all by and by, soon enough, when the morning comes, He'll solve all these things. And so, let it be so now, suffer it to be so now, where He leads me, I will follow. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. You're very familiar with these passages. I know that your pastor, Steve Leafley, did a verse by verse through the book of Acts sometime in the last year or so, and it was probably in this passage and gave you a great outline of this chapter and all these things. So this is not new stuff, but I want to apply just a few things out of it. Notice the leading of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, and God's Word says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, second time, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas. And here the Spirit speaks again in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, that's the third time the Spirit spoke to Paul, immediately we, and you should have that word we underlined right there, and that's where Luke joins them, endeavored to go into Macedonia, and assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. I just want to give you a quick lesson here tonight out of this. I mean, that's a historical account right there, really, in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 11. That's a historical account of something that really took place. But we're told these things for our practical purpose so that we can apply it in our life. God dealt with that way then. God still deals this way now with you and I, where you'll be moving along life's path and you'll be leading along life's journey, and God will close a door. He'll say, no, don't go that way. And you'll say, oh, God doesn't want me to go that way. He must want me to go that way. Sometimes we make that pendulum swing mistake where the opposite of left is right. Well, sometimes the opposite of left is be still and know that I'm God. Don't go left or right for a moment. Just be right where you're at and allow things to take place. You know, it's always good when somebody is beat up in one church and then they come in and start visiting another church to, I want to join this. Let's just take our time right now and just get into some healing and just take our time and then you can join the church. Well, that's not left or right, it's just be still. Sometimes there's a time to not make a move, not make a move. And just be still and let God open and close some doors. So Paul immediately thought, well, this door is closed, so I must go this way. And God closed that door too. He wanted him going another door that he didn't even have in his mind. He didn't even know was there. But because of his obedience to not kick in that closed door, and he said, okay, the Spirit said no here. He started going this way, and the Spirit said, okay, because the Spirit said no here. Because of his obedience to let and to suffer it to be so, and to be submitted and obedient to the Spirit's closing of this door and not kick it in anyways, and the Spirit's closing of that door and not kick it in anyways or find a way around or whatever the case might be, because of his obedience to the Spirit, a Macedonian man ends up getting saved. Well, Lydia ended up being the first convert over there and when he gets to Philippi and all that. And Luke ends up joining with him, and he takes Timothy with him, who he had just met earlier in the chapter, and Silas gets to go with him in the second missionary journey. All of the success that takes place in Europe, all of the success that takes place in Philippi, you're familiar with the book of Philippians, how that was a suffering people in a Roman colony, and how because Paul got to them and they were encouraged and he was able to write the book of Philippians. You know, the book of Philippians has no correction in it. Very little. There's a little bit of instruction and this and that. But it's not a book of correction like 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. It's not a book of doctrine like Romans. Or a corrective book like Galatians. I can't believe you guys have fallen so fast from what I taught you. It's a book of encouragement to suffering people that were in this strict Roman colony. Well, that book would never be if it wasn't for simple obedience to a closed door. If you trace this all the way back, all of the third missionary journey, the second missionary journey, all of the all the way through Greece and Philippi and all the things that took place, Lydia's conversion and all the churches that were started throughout Europe and all of these converts and the letters that were written, you say, wow, what an amazing thing that took place. You trace it all the way back to simple obedience to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And no, don't go right now. Nope. Don't go left right now. Just wait and I'll tell you where I want you to go. And there was a third option he didn't even know existed. You and I want our missionary. This is what this is. It's a historical account of a missionary journey. And when our missionaries come in here, and let's say it's a missionary to Brazil, we want our missionaries to be submitted to the Spirit of God, don't we? We don't want them to take a cookie-cutter approach to, well, this is the way we did it in the church I was raised in Boston, and that's the way we're going to do it down in Brazil. We want them to go down there and allow the Holy Spirit to lead them and to use the public ministries that are right for that area, to design a church in a... You know, you see a missionary come up here and he's dressed in, usually dressed in his... If it's an African nation or a Filipino, they're dressed in the garb a lot of times. They speak the language. We don't want them to go down there and say, bless God, this is the way we do it in America, and everybody dressed like we're American and speak English, and we don't want to Americanize them. We want them to be led by the Spirit. And they don't know how to do that. They're from Boston. And they're going to Brazil. They're learning a new language. They're learning a new culture. They're learning a new family style. And, you know, everybody lives together. Grandma, grandpa, grandkids, grandson, they all live in the same 10 foot by 10 foot house there in the Philippines, and that's not how it was where I grew up. Things are totally different here. You know, my brother Matt, a lot of you know him. When he got to Africa, the way they would do a special, they would all get together, they would stand down here, not up here, and they would face each other in a circle. I don't know if he's ever shared this with you guys before. They would stand down here in a circle facing each other, not the people, and that's how they did a special. You know, he didn't go, that's not how we do it in Cambridge, Ohio, in Baysville, Ohio. You guys need to do it this way. He didn't change them. He wasn't taking a cookie-cutter approach and trying to take the way it is here and force it in there, and take a square peg, force it in a round hole, or a round hole and force it in. He was obedient to the Spirit of God and allowed God to... And that's what we want from our missionaries overseas. But where does God get missionaries? Do they all of a sudden wake up one day and they're submitted to the Holy Spirit of God? Do they grow on missionary trees? Does God walk up to a missionary tree and pull off a missionary and this guy's going to be, all of a sudden they're submitted? You know where God finds missionaries? They're people like you and I that on a Friday night when the Holy Spirit says, turn the TV off and open up your Bible, they said, yes, Lord. And they turned their TV off and they opened up their Bible and God said, there's someone that'll follow me when I close the door and when I open a different one. And when they were getting up in the morning and they just wanted to do something else other than come to Sunday school and hear some fill-in preach for the regular pastor, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go today. This door was closed. That door was open. That door was open. This door was closed. Missionaries don't grow on trees. Paul didn't grow on trees. Missionary journey. The church at Ephesus, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Thyatira, the church at here, the church at there. All of those great missionary journeys of missionary journey 1, missionary journey 2, missionary journey 3. All these great things that took place and the great conversions. They didn't just wake up one day and all of a sudden Paul was submitted to the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden Luke was submitted to the Holy Spirit and wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. All of a sudden, Timothy was submitted to the Holy Spirit. It started in their home. It started in their personal life. It started in their day-to-day. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. See, we want our missionaries over on the foreign field to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led and not try to fit a mold and not try to break a mold, and not try to put a square peg into a circle hole or a circle hole into a square peg. We want them to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Where do those people come from, though? I've got a 6-year-old son. He's not going to turn 19 and all of a sudden be Spirit-led and be a great missionary and follow the Lord in some great... He's got to be learning it now. Mom, why do you pray when you get up in the morning? Nobody sees you. Dad, why do you do this? Dad, why don't we do this? Dad, why do we? Why is that door closed? Why is that door open? Why are we a part of this? Why are we not a part of that? Because where He leads me, I will follow. Is that in the Bible? No, it's not in the Bible. That's just a personal conviction that I have. Other people don't have to do it. Dad, how come we do these things this way and that group over there does things that way? They must be wrong, right? No, they're not wrong. That's the way the Lord's leading them. Obviously, I'm not talking about sin or something crazy, but no, that's the way the Lord's leading them. They're a square peg and we're a circle hole, and that's the way the Lord's leading us, and that's the way we do things here, you know. And they're learning because they can't just wake up one day and be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. They've got to learn how to, when the Lord says, Hey, go over to that person and shake their hand. And you don't know that that person is struggling today. And that person's thinking, nobody notices me. And that person's thinking, Satan's just been attacking them this morning. And your comfort to them and your encouragement to them changed everything. You know, we were out on the street corner yesterday up in Worcester, and it was just one of those days where Satan sent all of his people. I mean, it was weird. It was just an odd day. Satan sent his people. Some Jehovah's Witness people, somebody threw something at us, and it was odd. Just an odd day. Somebody else came up and stood in front of our signs, blocking our signs to preach at us, you know, that kind of thing. Just some of Satan's people showed up. But another guy showed up that either got his salvation settled, got saved, or got the clear presentation of the gospel, something like that. You know, just that there's going to be the negative, there's going to be the positive, but if you're just obedient to what the Lord's telling you to do and you overcome some of those obstacles and you don't walk away when there's some opposition and you're just there kind of where the Lord, and it's not us doing it, it's just all, you know, 12, 15 people out there just being obedient to the Lord, that guy's able to be a witness there, that guy's able to be a witness there, that guy's able to be a witness there. You know, if Bible Baptist Church or whatever church you're a part of in South Carolina, if your church is going to be a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, God-directed and guided church, it's not just going to be because one day everybody's just all of a sudden led by the Spirit. It's going to be because Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, Brother Jeff Braden's led by the Spirit. Because on Friday night, the Dickinson family is being led by the Spirit. Because on every day, every day, every day, people have got to be submitted to the closed doors and then go through the open doors. How do we know which doors are closed? Leadership of the Spirit of God. The guidance of the Spirit of God. Not just pastors, not just dads, not just moms, not just children, not just brothers and sisters, not just cousins, not just Sunday school teachers, not just nursery workers. Each and every individual, every Paul, every Silas, every Barnabas, all of them have got to be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, submitted to the Holy Spirit. Where He leads me, I will follow. It's not only true of missionaries that they need to be Spirit-filled and led, like this missionary account right here. I want you to notice they had a good organized plan. Paul had, he was so stuck on his plan, and he knew Mark had messed him up on it the first time around, that he wasn't going to let John Mark come with him again. And so him and Barnabas kind of had that Barnabas purpose to take him with him, and Paul said, we're not taking John Mark, so they split into two different directions. Because he was so committed to his plan, and Mark was going to mess it up. Well, Barnabas was so committed to his plan of taking Mark, Paul wasn't going to let that happen, so they both stuck to their plan. They were so committed to their plan, Paul had come up out of, go up into Turkey, alright, go up into Asia Minor, and he had made his loop the first time around. The second time around, he's going to retrip and hit all those same churches again. That was his plan. It wasn't God's plan. But he had a plan. He wasn't just setting out without any order and without any organization and without any thought for tomorrow. He had a plan. So it's good to have organization. It's good to have a plan. But you've got to let God change it. I was talking to a missionary one time to Spain. And he said, I'm going to go to Spain, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, we're going to start a church this way, we're going to do this, all these types of things. And I said, he was very young, very, very young. I said, how are you going to get into the country? And he went, he didn't have a plan. You've got to get a visa. You've got to have a supporting in-country church. He goes, oh. There was no plan. That God's not saying, just charge hell with a squirt gun like this. He's not saying don't have any plan for life. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't have a retirement. Don't have an order or an idea or a calendar of events. He's not saying don't have any plan. But when He changes it, I better say, yes, Lord. I better suffer it to be so now. I better let it happen. God's not saying don't have a plan for your home. God's not saying don't, well, I'm going to go to high school. I had a youth department once. I might have used this illustration here before, but it's a good one. I had a youth department. And I asked the juniors and the seniors, I said, what are your plans? And they said, well, one of them said, this is up in the Canton area. So he said, well, I'm going to go to Malone College. And then when I'm done, I'll just see where the Lord wants me to settle and what the Lord wants me to do after that. The next one, I'm going to go to Pensacola Christian College. And after that, I'm just going to see where the Lord wants me to go and see what the Lord wants me to do. The next one, I'm going to go to Kent State Stark, get an associate's degree. After that, I'll just see what the Lord wants me to do, see what the Lord has for me to say. Kind of monkey see, monkey do. Well, the way the first one answers it, the way everybody else is going to answer it too. And so to a person, it was, I'm going to go to college and then I'm going to see what the Lord wants me to do for my life. That's a good plan. So I asked one question that blew all of their minds. I said, what if the Lord doesn't want you to go to college? Because they all said, I'm going to go to college, then I'm going to see what the Lord's will is for my life. I said, what if the Lord shuts that first door? Their worlds were destroyed. They'd never thought about it. No, no, no. That's the way of Christianity today. That's the way of the home today. I'm going to put, this is my plan. God cannot touch my plan. Then after my plan is fulfilled, then God can have anything after that. God can lead after that. Here's what I'm going to do. Then I will see what God's plan for my life is. The problem is, and I know one guy right now that should be on the mission field, but he's so much in debt from his college that he can't go for years. He won't be able to go. I know another guy whose family plan is you have to own a home. It has to be a nice home. It has to be a big home. It has to be an impressive home. Because of his $250,000 in debt, he can't do anything the Lord wants him to do. See, Paul had a plan. But when God changed his plan, he was still submitted to the leadership of the Spirit of God. I'm looking at a lot of people that probably give a lot of advice to children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews. You know what good advice would be? It's good to have a plan, but you've got to let God change it. Nobody's saying don't have a plan. Don't consider college. Don't consider owning a home or buying a home. Don't consider having this and that, but don't leave God out of the first 10 steps and then say, Lord, step 11's all yours. Step 11's all yours. You know what Paul did? He said, I'm going to Phrygia, Galatia, Mysia, Bithynia, Troas. And then God said, no, you're not. And he said, okay. Okay. When you see all of the fruit at the end of Paul's life, when you see all of the churches, probably the greatest Christian in the Bible, one of the greatest men in the Bible, Job and Paul, just incredible people. When you see all that fruit at the end of the life, it's not because of his education. It's not because of his physical demeanor. It's not because of his popularity. It's not because of his genius. It's not because of his support base. Although he's desperate for a support base when you read his letters, he really cares about having some people next to him, left and to his right, holding him up. You know, but it's not about those things. You know what all of the success of Paul comes back to? Obedience to the Spirit of God on the small things. No, don't go left. Oh, well then you must want me to go right. That's good to have a plan. Go right now. Okay. No. No, don't go right. Okay. Well then, Lord, where do you want me to go? And it's easy for us to read this historical account, but when we're in those situations, when did Paul find out where he was to go? In the dark of night. I'm not saying follow your dreams. Or try to have as many dreams. Or, you know, those Middle East, I was over there in Iraq for a while, and those Middle Easterners, their prophets will actually go up into the mountains and sniff natural gas so that they can have these type of visions. Okay, don't do that, all right? Don't try to set up to have a dream or something like that, all right? But what is that a picture of? Sometimes in the darkest of night when we think we're without any guidance whatsoever, because we were previously obedient to the small steps of the Lord, that's when He likes to show up and give us some guidance. When we have no guidance around us, He doesn't know what to tell me to do. She doesn't know what to tell me to do. Lord, nobody has an answer for this situation. And then He, because we're submitted and waiting on Him, sometimes in the cloudiest, foggiest of situations, the Lord shows up and says, yeah, sometimes there really is no situation. or no answers to a situation, but if you're disobedient to me. I've found myself before in situations where I've said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And then the Lord reminds me to just sit down and go through all the simple things in Scripture, like spending time in His Word, telling someone about Him, praying for those in my life, being the man I should be, the husband I should be, the dad I should be, all the things that He has told me. And before I'm done, I started by telling the Lord, Lord, I just have no idea what to do. And by the time I'm done writing down all the simple day-to-day steps that God has told me to do, I've got 10 pages. I kind of do know what to do. I'm just thinking big picture. And God's thinking small picture obedience will lead to the big picture being set up for success. Being set up for success. Where He leads me, I will follow. You know the verse in John chapter 16 and verse 13 where Christ told His disciples, I'm not going to be leading you anymore. I'm not going to be here. But I will not leave you comfortless. And He said, I'm going to send you another comforter, which means that's what He was to them. He was a comforter to them. I'm going to send you another comforter and He will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into all truth. We know that's a prophecy of the New Testament Scriptures, but that's part of what the Spirit does. He guides us. He leads us and He never leads into error. He'll stop you from leaving truth. He'll stop you from entering error and He will guide you into truth. Where the Spirit of the Lord leads, it's always right. It's always right. It's always the fruitful path. I want to give you two quick thoughts. We have 9 minutes left. I want to give you two quick thoughts. And this is, again, this is a message the Lord gave to me. This was a devotion the Lord gave to me on a Monday night at 9 o'clock at night. Of sometimes when I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I don't know what to do, or Lord, I want to be led by Your Spirit. And I saw this passage here in Acts chapter 16 where the Spirit was just closing and opening doors. And 20 years ago, I had a man tell me, he said, when God opens a door, Satan will open three. And so you've just got, you know, when God closes the door, you know, there'll be an open one for you to run out of and release some of that pressure, you know, so you've just got to stay there until the Lord gives you. I just want to give you two quick thoughts, mistakes sometimes that we can make that will stop us from being able to follow the Lord's leading. Number one, having to fit a mold. Having to fit a mold. We know that when God saved us, He predestinated us to be conformed into the image of His Son. Not into the image of 2023 modern church Christianity. Not into American society and what everyone else is doing, I have to be doing too. Or what everyone else has, I have to have too. Or what all the other churches are doing, what all the other families are doing. As a husband, a lot of times it's my job to say, don't worry about other people are thinking about you as a wife. You follow Him, don't worry about fitting their mold about what a mother should be. If you're being obedient to Him, you know what Psalm 2 ends with? The Spirit speaks and says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you. Not kiss Bible Baptist Church. Not kiss fundamentalism. Not kiss Bible believerisms. Those are all good things. Not kiss typical Christian, not kiss the mold, kiss the Son, lest He be angry with thee. If you're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're obedient to, it's all been written down right in here, you're obedient to Him in the way that He's leading you, don't let brother so-and-so make you feel like you're not fitting His mold. Don't let sister so-and-so, I think this might be in a different sermon, but judgmental people are very insecure. When someone's judging you as a type of man, woman, brother, sister, mother, father, grandparent, whatever it might be, feel sorry for them. They're very insecure. The most judgmental person in this room is the most insecure person in this room. That you should feel sorry for somebody that is very judgmental. All right, they're very insecure. That's what protects them from their insecurities is that mold. That mold. Why do you believe in the King James Bible? Because the mold? I'm not saying the Spirit of God's going to lead you away from it. He won't. He wrote it. He's not going to lead you away from it. But are you just holding to it because it's the mold? What if the mold changes next year to something else? Will you leave the Bible to fit the mold? Is the Spirit leading, or are you trying to fit a mold? This is what Christianity is. This is how a dad should be. This is what, and we've left the Bible altogether and we're trying to fit the modern Christian fundamental family. That this is how it is. This is how it's to be done. And the Lord's over there speaking to people, and I'm way over here trying to fit a mold. Trying to fit a mold. Don't worry about the mold, other than the mold that God has predestined for you to be, which is the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as you wouldn't want a missionary to be a cookie cutter, take a square peg, put it in a circle hole, God does not want you to take your family and take a square peg and put it in a circle hole, or try to just fit a mold. You cannot duplicate that family over there in your family. You cannot duplicate that guy over there. He's a different personality than you are. She's got different strengths and weaknesses than you do. That's the way the Spirit's leading her. That's not the way the Spirit's leading you. You be submitted to the Spirit of God. And when the big moment comes that I'm going to go into the mission field all the way over into Asia, your obedience in that moment is going to be tied to that Friday night at 7 o'clock when the Lord told you to get on your face and pray. And you either let it happen, you either suffered it to be so, or you didn't. You can't be strong in the day of battle. There's a great verse there in Jeremiah that says something like, you can't run with the horses if you can't run with the horsemen. If you fail to run with the horsemen, how are you going to run with the horses? Alright, if you can't be obedient in that moment, that small moment that is very easy to be obedient in the grand scheme, how can you be obedient in that when it's really hard to be? But when you've tested and tried and proved the armor of yielding, submitting, and obedience in that big moment where everybody's saying, no, why don't you take this drink? Why don't you be a part of that thing? Why don't you go to this place? Why don't you watch these things? Why don't you do those things? The Spirit of God is not leading me in that direction. That's a closed door. I'm not going through it. But that starts in those, when you're 16 and you're submitted to the Spirit of God and what I should listen to and what my friends are saying and what I should... And as you grow up and you grow up and you get tougher and tougher and you're a mom and the mold is to do that, but that's not the way the Spirit's leading me to do it. And I'm going to be... Should I fit the mold or should I obey the Spirit? And as a grandfather, grandmother, all these types of things, you're just obedient to the Spirit of God. Number one, don't try to fit a mold. You're either going to wear yourself out trying to be like somebody else that you don't have the strengths and weaknesses to be, or you're going to settle, and God could make you more than that person is, and you're going to settle for, well, I'm like them, I must be right with God. Fitting a mold is never going to work. Comparing themselves amongst themselves, they are not wise. They are not wise. We're right with God, we're just like all the other churches. I must be right with God, I'm just like all the other preachers. She must be right with God, she's like all the other moms. And the Spirit's leading over this way, but we're fitting the mold. Number one, don't try to fit the mold. Don't try to fit the mold. It'll stop you from following and being sensitive to the Spirit of God. Sometimes He'll tell you to take a leather girdle on and go eat locusts and honey and live down by a river. There's no mold for that. But that was a Spirit-filled man from the womb. He was Spirit-filled. The Spirit will not... You're going to have to go away sometimes to something different, a little different. Not against the Word of God or sinning or anything like that. Number one, don't try to fit the mold. 2 minutes left. A mistake I see made a lot of times that I don't want to repeat in my life. Number one, don't try to fit the mold. Number two, don't try to break the mold. Don't try to break the mold. If you're trying to be unique, trying to be noticed, trying to be the first one to ever, trying to be the one that's clearly better than everybody else in here because of how much more I am. If you're trying to break the mold, I found with young people, I'd preach this a lot with young people, sometimes in an effort to rebel against tradition, you rebel against common sense. I don't want to do it the way my dad and mom always did it. Well, your dad and mom take a shower every day and brush their teeth. You're not going to do that either? in an effort to rebel against tradition and the way it's always been and the mold that as God has set it forth, in an effort to break that mold, there's a rebellion against some things that are common sense. You're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You know, two steps to the right of truth, pendulum swinging over, two steps to the left of truth is just as far away from truth. I don't want to be two steps to the right of truth. I'm going to go four steps away. And you're two steps away from truth. You know what that is? That's just trying to setting forth to be different. I'm going to be different. Isn't that the way of the world today? I'm going to be different. I'm going to color my hair and get a tattoo. No one's ever done that before. I'm going to be like this. I'm going to wear all black. Nobody's ever done that before. I'm going to do drugs. Nobody's ever done that before. You know what they do? In an effort to rebel against the mold, they end up fitting the 6 billion other people that are out there. They end up falling right into the mold. I'm going to be a part of this cool, new, modern type of Christianity. Wear a skinny suit, 5 o'clock shadow, flat shoes. You know, nobody's ever tried that before. You know what that is? That's making an effort. Instead of just following the leadership of the Spirit of God, I'm trying to break a mold. I'm trying to be a mom like no mom has ever been. I'm trying to be a dad like no dad has. I'm trying to be a Christian like this world is just, wow, I can't believe a Christian's like that. That's not the way the Spirit leads. He doesn't want us to fit a mold and seek to fit a mold. I want Brother Daryl to like me. So I'm going to be this kind of... That's not the leadership of the Spirit of God. Well, I don't want to be like her, so I'm going to break this mold. And that's not the leadership of the Spirit of God. Don't worry about the molds. Remember when Solomon lost his mind? It was because he was looking under the sun. He was looking around under the sun at all the molds. And he was saying, that mold's a waste of time. I tried to fit that mold, it didn't work. And I tried to break against that mold, and that didn't work. Don't worry about the molds. Look up by looking down and be led by the Spirit of God. And it starts not with some major life-changing event. It starts with, Bob, you need to start getting up 15 minutes earlier. Me, you need to start getting up 15 minutes earlier and spending time in prayer on the specific subject that you are struggling in. She doesn't even know about it. They don't even know about it. He doesn't even know about it. He doesn't even know about it. They don't even know about it. I want to show everybody I'm obedient to the Spirit. God's just looking at, are you obedient to the Spirit when the Spirit says, don't watch that. Listen to that. Tell them this. Send a card to that person. He's looking for people that are, and if he is, and she is, and he is, and she is, and she is, and she is, and she is, and he is, and he is, and he is, then we all will be led by, guided by the Spirit of God. The problem in my life, I don't know how it is with you. The problem in my life is not that He's not leading. It's not that He's not commanding or guiding. It's that sometimes I'm not following. And today, I just want to say, Lord, if You want me to pray, Lord, if You want me to shake a hand, God, if You want me to sing, God, if You want me to. And then when I just kind of becomes who I am, that when He closes the door, I don't go through it. When He opens the door, I go through it. All of a sudden, I don't have a very stressful life. I kind of just, He tells me what to do and I do it. And when He tells me not to do something, I don't. And all of a sudden, I'm where He leads me, I will follow. All the way my Savior leads me. You know why that's good? Because He leads in paths of righteousness and beside still waters. Because He leads in the right direction and good paths. Fruitful places, I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Where He leads me, I will follow. And I have respect for you guys and what you understand of the Bible, but maybe there's some thoughts in there that might help in some way, fashion, or form. All right, and that's all the time we have for this morning. You are dismissed.